Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday, you know. And when you're in your kitchen whipping up something to eat, do you ever stop and think, gee, I wish there was a gadget to help me peel these potatoes faster? Chances are your wish has already come true. The world of kitchen gadgets and equipment is vast and technologically advanced, so we're geeking out on a Food Friday. Today, talking about all the tools you need for your kitchen, from the basics to what you need for more adventurous culinary pursuits. We have three kitchen gadget geeks here. We've met them before. They each delight the diners of the Berkshires with their innovative cuisine. Nick Moulton of the Meze Bistro and Bar in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox. And Adam Brizard of the Williams Inn in Williamstown. They're all here to answer your questions about kitchen gadgetry. We want to hear from you. What kitchen tools can't you live without? Did anything revolutionize your cooking? Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment on our Facebook wall post. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You'll see a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But we do love your numbers. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to use those numbers. Nick Moulton, Adam Brizard, and Bjorn Somlo, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
How's it going?
So this show is it's an interesting one to me. Now, you guys have given me a prep sheet, which I think is great, because first of all, it starts with what a gadget is. It's a mechanical contrivance or device, any ingenious article. So to me, the number one kitchen gadget, it's a knife, right? Would that be the number one thing?
Maybe tool.
Tool, yeah.
That's so a tool is different from a gadget?
It's going to be a hard toss-up. I mean, a knife, we can do a whole show on a knife. I think we might want to talk about those little things that you may not consider.
Okay.
That are going to make life a lot easier.
Frankly, you've given me a list here, and I don't even know what half these things are. What's a Vita prep? Really? A Vita prep? Help me out here.
Vita prep's indispensable.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a high-powered blender.
Okay. Can't you just call it a high-powered blender?
Well, you could, but Vita prep sounds cooler.
Vita prep is its own thing. It's a brand.
Okay. Oh, it's a Vita prep. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Fine mesh strainer. All right. That's a no-brainer, right? We know what that is.
It's used for refinement and straining.
Oh.
What's going to be great about
this? This is going to be a great show. What does a strainer do? It strains.
So the strainer and the VitaPrep, they're going to be these tools we use to add a depth of luxury to the food that we cook. The VitaPrep is such a high horsepower device that you can throw anything in there, and you're going to get a silky, creamy, either emulsified, but just a phenomenal product that you could not create otherwise.
So this is something that is not generally found in a regular home kitchen? No, not at all?
It's a little expensive, but I think they're worth it. If you take a home unit, if you take a Hamilton Beach, if you take another device and you try and do what we do, and you're just going to get a lesser product, and it's probably going to last a much shorter life. The VitaPreps are just it's what they use in the bars to make your margaritas. They can go through anything.
They're indestructible.
Okay.
Yeah, the motor is much stronger, and the pitcher on top is a bit larger, too.
All right. Well, you know, I see things like an immersion blender. What's the difference?
Immersion blender, you wrote that one, Adam.
Yeah, it's a stick blender. It's
what do you mean?
It's
handheld.
Yeah, it's a handheld device. You can get them at Amazon or any type of
something you make like a shake with.
Yeah, and you just put it inside, and it's got a little blade on the bottom of it. It's got a button on top. It's got a cord, and you just kind of go up and down, circular motion. And it's more for like pureeing and smoothing out sauces or purees, that kind of thing.
Mm.
They make industrial size ones that are pretty heavy and duteous for the commercial kitchen.
Okay. Well, mandolin is on the list. I think I know what one of those is. And you actually brought one with you today. What will we do with the mandolin, Bjorn?
The mandolin is an incredible device. We use it. One thing that's very important is having good knife skills. And when you don't exactly have the best knife skills, or also to produce more and more, the mandolin is an amazing shortcut, but an incredible tool. We use Japanese mandolins. They're made out of plastic. They're a lot more affordable than your French mandolins. And what a mandolin is, it's got a little sharp cutting board on it that allows you to slide something across it and cut it into a couple different shapes. You can cut paper-thin radishes, cucumbers, but you can also julienne, and you can produce quite a volume of consistent cut quickly which also allows you to work with fresher ingredients. We do a lot in kitchens. We use a term called all minute. Okay. And that means we make it when you ask for it.
Yeah.
So if we were going to do a salad that had a vegetable like an apple and we wanted to julienne it, which are long, thin strands, you would really have to have a pretty skilled person back there to be able to cut up enough pretty apples consistently so you don't get one giant chunk and one tiny chunk and get it to the customer before it turned into a gray mess. What this tool does is we can just you slide it across a couple times. You have a handful of little matchstick pieces of apple or pear. You can take out the julienne cutter and you can slice, again, the radish or you can slice some onion. I imagine the rest of the guys use them quite a bit as well.
Waffle cuts.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like such a simple thing. What's the history of the mandolin? How long have we had these in our kitchens?
I can't speak to the actual history. What I did know is coming up, traditionally the mandolin years ago was a French mandolin. And I actually, one of my first jobs we had when I never even knew how to set it up, it didn't even have a blade. It had like a chunk of metal that you kind of would accidentally, hopefully not, feed your hand into.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and it was just this big, heavy, and they still sell them, and they cost like $200, and they just got dulled and dulled and dulled. And as I was coming up a little bit younger, I was introduced to the Japanese mandolin, and I was at they even sell some in your local grocery stores.
Yeah.
But it's significantly cheaper. It fits in your drawer. You want to be careful. You want to watch your hands. You want to not talk to someone while you're using it, but...
Well, I would think that anytime you're using a sharp object, you want to kind of watch yourself.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. And you mentioned knife skills. So you guys all have good knife skills? Good. So you'll be safe going back to the parking lot in a little while. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Lori in Schenectady. Lori, you're on.
Hi. I want to tell you about this new product I purchased. It's called a Vegetti. And it slices your zucchinis and your summer squash, potato, carrots into a spaghetti-like shape. And really low in calories, really tasty. And I'm really enjoying it. It's at CVS for $15, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, it's a Vegetti.
My sister actually just purchased one of these quite recently, and it was an apparatus on, it was like an As Seen on TV commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... She thinks the world of it.
Really?
Yeah, this is something that turns vegetables into like noodles and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's great for like
you guys
gluten free and
wouldn't use
vegetarians.
This?
I have one in the restaurant.
You do?
I do.
I don't have one in the restaurant, but I actually bought one recently. I know the product.
Well, Lori, I guess the chefs are on board here, huh?
Yes, and I have a request.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was a child, my mom used to cut French fries. Oh, in this little machine, you put the potato in and push the handle down, and out would come these strips of French fries. And I'm wondering if they still sell those, if any of your listeners know where we can get those these days.
They sell cheap and expensive ones. You can get a cheap fry cutter for home, and it's basically a box with a grid on the top.
Right.
And then in the restaurants, actually, you know, that's another one where we use the gadget. We don't have someone generally cutting fries all day. We have these great wall mounts with this large, heavy handle that forces potatoes
cool.
through, again, the same grid.
What, do you just throw the potato at it from across the room?
You load the potato onto the stand, and you just pull it down, and it just passes it right through
wow.
the grid.
Yeah. You just post a stool right up in front of it and just start feeding potatoes into it.
So that's what the low man on the totem pole in the kitchen
yeah,
gets to do?
The French fry cutter.
Hey,
yeah.
There you go. All right, Lori. Thanks for the call.
Those these days.
Well, where would you get one, gentlemen?
I felt like I saw the kind of the generic one kind of in your average home store. I don't know if it's a Target thing. You can find almost anything on Amazon, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate to shill for them.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you don't want to shill for
them.
Much. Thanks, Lori. We appreciate the call. Let's go over to Michael in North Adams. Michael, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling. I saw something in a magazine called Onion Glasses.
Onion Glasses.
I'm wondering if the chefs have ever heard of such a thing.
All that's right, funny. That sounds like a Peter. That's my father calling in right now.
I'm a big fan,
Dad. It totally is your dad.
Okay.
Adam, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, then you don't win the bet.
I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
All right, thanks. Fair enough. All right. So, anybody, Onion Glasses, or is he just joking around?
No, they actually have.
They do have Onion Glasses, but the idea of cutting an onion with either a dull knife or whatever the sulfuric content of the onion is, burning your eyes,
yeah,
and protecting yourself.
So they're just goggles that you put on?
Apparently, it's
pretty much. It's like
My father's an optician, so
yeah, that's exactly what I called
it. So it's better for business if you don't use it.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's go to Andy in Lenox, Mass. Andy, you're on.
How you doing? I've got a couple of comments, actually. I actually have a pair of onion goggles, and they're indispensable.
Right.
They're essentially a wraparound glasses with foam around the rim, and they work great. Also, the Vitamix, VitaPrep, indispensable. I've had one for 20 years, and I'm just facing the possibility of doing a little bit of work on it, but I use it every day. It's absolutely phenomenal. My question is sous vide. Your experiences with, if you use commercial ones or more readily available now, ones from catalogs or stores, what's your preference?
Okay, sous vide again?
Sous vide is a mixed idea. Sous vide's two things. There's one, there's the immersion circulator, which allows you to cook things at controlled low temperatures.
Okay.
It's a device that keeps temperatures within half a degree for extended periods of low temperature below boiling cooking.
All right.
The other part about sous vide is the under pressure comment. Often things are stored under pressure, like you would see your vacuum packed meats in the freezer. You don't necessarily need one for the other. You do need to contain your product if you are cooking low, slow and low. But the big thing about discussing sous vide with a larger audience is there's a lot of room for danger in it. You really need to know your safety points, your cooling points, and what you're doing. It's not to be...
So danger as far as
bacterial
getting
growth,
sick?
Absolutely.
Bacterial growth at specific temperatures.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with working around those situations. I was just curious if there are any specific units that you prefer. You did do that kind of work in your restaurant.
I use PolyScience.
PolyScience is great.
PolyScience?
Yeah. It's PolyScience. The industry standard. They run from 1,000 to 500, and then they have a creative series around 375.
Okay.
What happens as you go down, it's the amount of volume of water it can maintain. There's a newer product also called a Nova, and they're about $300. What's interesting about them is they kind of have the interface like an iPad.
Oh.
But they claim they can also do the volume of maintaining about a 5 to 6 gallon bucket of water, which it's, I think if you're playing at home, that might be a better intro. The PolyScience is straight up figured out. It's what we use, but they to get the good one, it's about $1,000.
But be careful. That's what, one of the upshots here. We'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Nick Moulton, Adam Brizard, and Bjorn Somlo. We talk kitchen gadgets today. How can you lose? We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harolds.com. Saratoga County Tourism, featuring Night at the Brewseum, with locally produced specialty beer and wines. Also exhibits on New York State military history, dmna.ny.gov. And Trattoria Rustica, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Chef Davide Manzo, preparing Cucina Napoletana, featuring Spicciolata prefix menu, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m. till closing. TrattoriaRustica.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. You put three chefs in a room and mayhem generally breaks out, but we've got things back under control and we're back with you here at 2:22 on a Friday. It's a Food Friday, and we're joined by Nick Moulton, Adam Brizard, and Bjorn Somlo today to talk about kitchen gadgets. And we've talked about things I've never heard of before, some I have. Now, you brought a Japanese mandolin. What else did you bring today, Bjorn?
I brought a Microplane.
Microplane
is the name of the company, and the model we're using is a Zester.
Okay.
We use a lot of citrus zest in kitchens. I imagine you guys use it too.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Do.
What's amazing about this tool is years ago, if you wanted to get the zest, you might see a bartender. You can use a peeler or a knife, and he's going to peel that zest off, and you're going to get a giant chunk of pith. The pith is the white.
I'm sorry, what was that? Pith?
Pith.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
It's the white bit between the zest and the...
Okay.
And you don't want that. That's very bitter. That's your why you wouldn't bite into a lemon almost. But the thin outside skin is the zest, and that is where your citrus oils are. It's very vibrant. It's a great tool to use. And so previously you would peel the, either with a knife or a peeler, you'd peel off the whole outside, and then you would skim away the pith, and then you have this giant chunk of lemon peel.
Yeah.
It's something you might see in a drink. But even at that state, you can't really eat it.
Right.
What the zester does is it allows you to take a citrus fruit and just grate it across it and have perfectly usable citrus zest.
Can you do this for
very
us?
Very fine.
For those watching at WAMC.org, we do have a video feed. Do you want me to do it?
Do it.
I'm not doing it, man. No way. That thing looks frightening. You do. Oh, look at you. Look at you go.
Done.
Look at that. Zest. All right. Isn't technology wonderful? Back to the phones we go at 1-800-348-2551. We go to Mark in Pleasant Valley. Mark, you're on. Hello. Hello. Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Let's hit the button again. Mark, are you there? All right. Did
well,
you have him potted up?
For a second. Take a smell of this.
All right.
This is why we grab the zest.
Okay. Just... fair enough.
When using lemon in cooking, the juice is wonderful, but the zest is
you know, I could
really
put this in a drink right now. Do you have any drinks back there, Jessica Blaustein Marshall? No? Some gin? All right. Let's go back to the phones. Sheila in Hudson. Sheila, you're on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a question. Hi. This is a great topic. I'm interested in the kitchen gadget, and it's called a spiralizer.
Oh.
I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, no kidding. I actually found out about it on a class visit to a place near Hudson. It's in Ghent, New York, called Catch Key Farm, and it's a teaching farm and garden. And they made it a salad with a Japanese tool called a spiralizer with raw kohlrabi, beet, and carrot. It was so delicious, I went home and I used my mandolin to recreate it, and it just didn't taste the same.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I looked for one on Amazon, and it cost $80. So I wanted to find out if I can get a more affordable spiralizer. I'll tell you, it looks like an automatic apple corer. You mount the food on a spiral type of thing, and you turn a crank, and the food pushes through it, and it makes something less about a millimeter in width, long and squiggly.
I think I've seen these on TV.
Sounds very similar to the Veggetti.
Yeah, very similar.
It is the same as the Veggetti. Yep. It's just the rotary mandolin you're talking about has more uses, more blades.
Yeah.
But it's that same concept. It's allowing you to get a long julienne that a lot of us don't have the knife skills to do.
There you go.
Is it worth paying the $80 for it, or should I try the Veggetti?
Well, if you're going to use kohlrabi, I think you need to go with the rotary mandolin. If you're doing the fresher vegetables like the zucchinis, you can get into that cheaper product.
Yeah, it's a softer vegetable.
But if you get into the spiral mandolin, you can throw on some really cool stuff and get a really great product. And they have a whole bunch of different blades, so it doesn't have to just be that thickness.
Hmm. Well, thank you, and maybe I'll make the investment.
And don't
thank
hurt
you.
Yourself, all right? Be careful out there.
No, this one is a turn-handle crank like the apple peelers that you see. They gave it to the second graders to use. It's a little more friendly than some of the scary stuff you're talking about.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Sheila. There's some really scary-looking apparatus in here. So if I live through the program, we'll have you back on. Thank you.
Be brave.
I'll try. Thank you very much. Let's go to Lisa. Lisa in Kingston. Lisa, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know, I'm in the process of trying to maybe buy a blender. So I want to know, what would they recommend, a Vitamix or a Blendtec, and why?
All right. Don't all jump at once.
Go on. I was just going to say Blendtec. No, I'm going to go with Vitamix, definitely, as we were talking about earlier, if you can afford it.
I don't think Blendtec's any cheaper.
If it is, then it's very, very minimal.
The thing about the VitaPrep is it's tried and true.
Yeah,
I mean, all of us have, run.
We can stand behind a VitaPrep.
It's very durable and lasts a long time.
Is the Blendtec the Will It Blend video series?
Oh, it might be, actually.
Yeah, apparently that one can also go through some glow sticks and golf balls. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's on the menu.
Yeah,
but none of us have worked with them.
We all use Vitamix and we stand behind it. It's a matter
Vitamix.
Of whether you want to spend the money for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks
perfect.
A lot.
Thank you so much.
Lisa,
thank
I appreciate you. The call. All right, here's one that came in via the website, the gentleman from Michael. As far as the caller asking about sous vide, Anovo has a nice immersion version for home use. You can control it via Bluetooth from your iPhone for, I guess, under $200. How about that? You heard about something like
Everything's
that?
Everything's high-tech nowadays.
I mean, how much is too much technology?
I don't
kitchen?
Know. I saw a water heater that was Bluetooth, and I'm just scared of, the cat running across it and me not having a shower in the morning.
But that's another show. Let's go to Susan in Woodstock. Susan, you're on.
Hi. So, hi, chefs. Thanks for taking my call. I really like my Eterna pressure cooker. I use it for cooking beets. I don't know how people wait that long without it.
Yeah.
But my question is, you know, about a ceramic knife. I don't quite understand what the advantage for ceramic would be.
I don't really know.
I'm not sure myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure the advantage of a ceramic knife at all.
I mean,
I've never really used one personally.
Yeah, me either.
Me neither.
Curious. Okay, nobody has.
Bjorn,
right,
do you have anything to say of the ceramic knife?
I mean, I haven't gotten into it. We do a little with the ceramic steels, but I think if you do research it, they'll explain to you whether it's just a harder steel or a longer-lasting product. If we did want to talk about knives, there's a lot we could share, but I'm not sure if that's...
You don't want to talk about knives
today?
Probably
a different show.
Do you have the time?
Well, I mean...
There's a lot to go over.
We have 31 minutes. You know, make my day. If you want to talk about knives, go ahead. Yeah, Susan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye now. So what's your favorite knife? Go ahead. Let's go around the room. Bjorn, what's your favorite knife?
Well, I think you need a couple knives.
Yeah?
You really do to get the work done. But for the home use, you just need one good chef knife. And more than that, you need to know how to hone it, which is to put an edge back on it. And you need to store it right. You need to clean it, put it in a knife guard, put it in a knife block.
So
don't
wooden
throw
block.
It in the drawer.
Yeah.
Or just we have these little plastic caps.
Yeah.
But you can do probably everything you need to do with a nice between 7 to 8 inch chef knife. Once you get into the specialized knives, it's more for the professional side of how we have different knives for different tasks.
So the paring knives or the curved knives and things like that?
Yeah, and serrated or Japanese versus, say, German. I almost imagine for the home use, a good German knife, you don't want to be worrying about a more delicate edge. You want something that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of those more expensive knives, you know, you have to watch how you wash them, and, you know, they're not dishwasher safe and that kind of thing. Some of the handles are wooden handles.
Oh, I see.
You know,
steels
you don't want
are
it
different in the tarnish.
Yeah, right.
Left wet.
Yeah, they can rust out. So it's you really have to pay attention when you start getting to the expensive knives.
Okay, and how expensive is expensive for a knife? I mean, you see knife sets.
You can go a few hundred dollars for
per
a
knife?
Really
oh, that,
nice
that's easily. You
chef
can go
knife,
up to
yeah.
A couple thousand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you need a chef knife for a couple thousand and this $29 mandolin will do some of the important things faster, don't you just go with that?
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't have $1,000 knife.
Somehow I sense you all like knives, which is really frightening me. Let's go to Mark in Pleasant Valley. Mark, you're on.
Hi there. I'm a bread baker, and the one thing that I really depend on is my ThermoPen thermometer. Any of you guys have any experience with ThermoPen?
A ThermoPen thermometer? I'm not sure
what that is. Yeah.
Tell us more about how that one works.
Is it like a digital kind of thing?
It is a digital thermometer with the most accuracy, the
is it a probe?
Highest, the largest range. From negative 32 to 538 degrees.
Is it a probe or a laser?
It's a probe. The company has all kinds of different thermometers, but it's a probe thermometer. It opens, and when you fold open the probe, it turns on. When you close the probe on a hinge, it shuts off. It also shuts off within 2 minutes after you use it, if you leave it open, which I always do.
So this ThermoPen, do you use it when you just need a reading, or do you leave it in the product and it monitors it?
No, it will melt.
Okay.
The plastic housing will melt.
Okay.
So it's not one of those like on a cable. It's a probe you stick in, but it's much better. You need 210 degrees for the finished loaf of bread. It'll give it to you within 2 seconds if you need 122 for rare meat. It'll give it to you within a couple seconds. You know, it's just an amazing, amazing device.
Yeah, I see Nick pulled this up on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And so is this something that's new to you guys?
Well, yeah. we have a photo of it. It seems like a digital thermometer that reads to a tenth of a degree. If it works for you, I think that's great.
Yeah. Personally, I've never seen one. I've never used one.
Oh, it's back in culinary school, they give you these little dial thermometers.
Yep.
This is 10,000 times better.
Yeah, it seems
cool.
Accurate.
It lasts
cool
forever.
Gadget.
Okay.
You can change
the
battery if you need to. I have a question, though. Are any of you guys bakers?
No.
Nope.
Not by profession.
Right.
Well, I make sourdough bread. And I developed a very good recipe. Everybody loves it. I sell it locally. But then I decided to make a roasted garlic sourdough. Mm-hmm. And so I put 24 ounces of flour. I put 4.5 ounces of roasted garlic pureed in a food processor. And then I wanted to bump up, and that worked fine. And then I wanted to bump up the garlic flavor, and I put 1 teaspoon of granulated garlic in the sponge of the loaf, right, the first part of it, the sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And although the sponge rose normally, once I mixed the dough and kneaded the dough, it no longer rose. And I'm really wondering why.
Okay.
It rose out, but it didn't rise up.
What do you think, gentlemen?
I mean, he's the baker. Something happened with the yeast where it stopped performing the way it did. Either there's an element in the granulated garlic, or basically the environment of your sponge changed with that addition that didn't allow the yeast to live or perform the way it does normally.
One of the differences between baking and
cooking. I leave the sponge
so
to rise overnight, and it did that. It rose fine.
All right, Nick.
It's just one of the differences between cooking and baking is how precise baking is, and I don't know. We have an exact answer for that.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, Mark, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate the tip on the device. All right, here's one. Guys, you've been castigated duly by Rob on Facebook. Surprised to hear the chefs recommending customers shop on Amazon when we have two fabulous kitchenware stores. All the products discussed so far are carried at Different Drummer's Kitchen in Albany and the Chef Shop in Great Barrington. So you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Just say you're sorry, and we'll move on.
I shop at Different Drummers.
There
too,
you go.
So
you see?
I mean,
you
it's
see?
Not just designated there.
All right. Shopping local, always a good thing. Let's go to Diana in Gloversville. Diana, you're on.
Hi. I commented about ceramic knives because I own one.
Oh.
It is ceramic. If you drop it, you're going to break it.
Okay.
And it's the sharpest knife I have ever owned. And I use it especially for, like, tomatoes, slicing tomatoes and vegetables. It's great. But I don't use it on meat and things like that. But it is a super, super sharp knife. Love it to pieces. And I have all kinds of metal knives. But they need to be sharpened. The advantage with the ceramic, supposedly, it never needs sharpening.
You know, I've seen these advertised late at night when I'm watching Abbott and Costello or whatever at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you guys use ceramic knives?
I don't use a ceramic knife, but I think we mentioned that we do use ceramic steels sometimes, so I can imagine the edge maybe holding a bit better on a ceramic knife.
I can almost imagine if you are saying it's fragile. One of the things about the kitchen and kitchen-tested equipment, and where we'll say a gadget like a VitaPrep will stand behind, is the kitchen is such a high-impact environment that, you know, even with the electronic thermometer we just discussed, that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need things that can stand the rattle and change, so I want to give that thermometer a try. But the ceramic knife would scare me of the things get knocked around, things go in drawers. You need things that can handle the bump and the clack.
Yeah.
Of life.
Yeah, a ceramic knife is definitely for a home cook because it's not going to take the environment of an industrial kitchen.
Seems like a great Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
It is, but it's a great knife. You just have to be delicate with it. And trust me, it never needs sharpening, and it will take a finger off.
Oh, terrific. Oh, good. So if you have children in the house, maybe not a great plan.
Yeah, it's kept in a separate place. You bet.
All
thanks,
right.
Guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Nick Moulton of the Meze Bistro and Bar in Williamstown, Massachusetts, Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox, and Adam Brizard of the Williams Inn in Williamstown, all here talking about kitchen gadgetry. And on the list, I mean, there's some simple things here. You consider, for instance, cheesecloth to be a gadget.
Cheesecloth's a good one. I think you put cheesecloth on, Nick.
Yeah, cheesecloth is it falls into the category of kind of a fine mesh strainer. It's a great way to refine a finished product. You can strain through it. You can cure something, wrap it in cheesecloth, and dry it out or age it in your cooler. It's just a very useful product.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a gadget.
Right, but important. And you guys use it like butcher's twine. Why is butcher's
thing.
Twine better than regular twine? I don't understand.
It's more durable. It holds up better. especially when you're throwing things in the oven. You're
like a roast or something?
A roast or a piece of meat or chicken or something. It's really just going to hold up.
You almost always find yourself needing a piece of string or something.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure it's food quality.
So, right. I mean,
you don't want to go grab something from somewhere that you don't know how it's been kept
or anything.
Yeah, no
shoelaces. Died or whatnot.
You may find this hard to believe, but I've actually never made a roast. But when you tie something like that up with butcher's twine, won't the twine burn in the oven?
This is right up Adam's. You answer this one.
My alley. No, it won't. It won't burn. It won't burn. It'll get crisp.
Yeah.
You know, but it won't burn. It won't disintegrate onto the product or anything like that. It's really industrial. It holds up well.
All right. What's also on the list here? What's a silpat? No idea.
Silpat is a silicone mat used on a sheet tray to provide a non-stick surface.
And it's reusable.
And it's reusable. You can
just wipe it off
in place of parchment paper or just wipe it off when you're finished.
Do you have to be careful about it holding bacteria? In other words, cutting boards, always frightened at home. We have one side that's for veggies, one side that's for meat. I don't know if you clean the things off.
I think as long as it's washed properly, I think you're okay.
Washed and dried properly.
Washed and dried properly. Stored properly. With towels as well.
Yeah.
All right, here's a couple other things I don't know. Rags, I figured out. Rags, okay. What's a C-fold?
C-fold we're talking about, before I forget, can we talk about plastic wrap? But C-folds, it's basically your almost your bathroom-style hand-washing cloth. What's nice about them, they come in a stack of individual. C-fold is just the name of the fold of the piece of paper. It's, in essence, a paper towel. But often when I cook at someone else's house or in someone's home, you have paper towels, which if your hands are dirty or if you need something, you need your other hand to pull it off.
Yeah.
You're pulling out 35 sheets. What's nice about this, you can put them in a basket, and you can take one when you need one. You can open it up. You can fold it. You can cut it into smaller pieces. It's just a very nice, efficient take on the paper towel.
Okay, and you guys want to talk we'll take a break here, but you guys want to talk about commercial plastic wrap versus the stuff you get in the store for home use, and we'll do that in a minute. I'll tell you, this is much more interesting than I thought it was when we discussed it in the green room. We're joined today by Nick Moulton, Adam Brizard, and Bjorn Somlo. We talk kitchen gadgets. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Kern Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York. Compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance and annuity carriers and their distribution partners, KernCompliance.com. And Sundog Solar at Solaqua Power and Art, Chatham, New York. Making power from sunlight, solar electric and solar hot water sales and leasing, spray foam and cellulose insulation, spin your meter backwards, sundogsolar.net.
Vox Pop Food Friday on your Friday afternoon. Ray Graff here along with Bjorn Somlo, Adam Brizard, and Nick Moulton. And you at home, 1-800-348-2551, or wherever you happen to be. If you're on the road, let's make it hands-free, all right? Here's one gentleman from email. This is from Mark. Good afternoon, he begins. Are there any new kitchen gadgets for grating cheese? Perhaps something that is not so hard to clean after using it? Ah, a fine question.
You could use a microplane for hard cheese if you wanted to.
But that's for hard cheese. That's
What's a microplane?
Cheese. It is exactly what we were grinding a lemon on earlier.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
I mean, even the old-fashioned box graters are, to me, the
I love great. A box grater.
We still use them. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
They're very underutilized.
Okay, but cleaning them off, a little tricky, right, depending on the cheese?
Depending on the cheese, I mean, you got to clean everything very well. So, I mean, there's...
Just clean with the grain, not against
not
it, or
against
else
it.
You'll have, you know, what's that joke about the sponge that... Melts evenly with you when you grate it.
All right, let's go to Cynthia in Poughkeepsie. Cynthia, you're on.
Hi there. I don't have a question, but it's back to the ThermoPen.
Oh,
are you guys familiar with Cook's Illustrated, the magazine?
That one's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Okay. They're affiliate, America's Test Kitchen and Cook's Illustrated. ThermoPen is the instant read thermometer they recommend and the one they use in their test kitchen.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Terrific.
Okay, so
very
if you go to their site and look it up, you can get more information on it.
We'll do. Hey,
okay.
Cynthia, thanks a lot
Thank
for the
you.
Call.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Cindy in Plattekill. Cindy, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
Nice to have you on.
Thank you. I have a question. What do the cooks think about Teflon? And I'm desperately trying to learn how to cook with a cast iron skillet, like steak in particular, or maybe pork chops, and I'm wondering any hints that maybe they could give me.
Okay, there are always these questions about Teflon. What do you guys think?
Can I take this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Why don't you all take it? We got time.
In a commercial kitchen, you know, Teflon is useful in certain places, but I personally don't like anything where the surface that you're cooking with, if it enters the food, you're concerned about. One of the best things you can do is have a dedicated Teflon pan that's for something like your eggs with a plastic spatula. I think after that, when we care about what we put in our body, it should go beyond just the food.
I have eliminated Teflon from my life, and I was looking for a cast iron pan, and I came across a cast iron pan that was covered with Teflon. I did not buy it.
So there's two kinds of cast iron that we can work with. One is cast iron. It's your Cast Lodge, which is pretty affordable, and they're actually induction-ready. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you guys knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they require some maintenance. And the other is black carbon steel, which is the same thing. With both those pans, which is awesome, if you want to cook steak, you're not going to get a better steak out of any other pan. They really hold the heat. You don't have an exchange of heat when you add the meat to the pan, and they can really put a nice sear or roast on there. The maintenance of them is pretty simple. To cook with them, you want to make sure they're seasoned, whether that's to put some oil in your pan before you cook and let that come up to a smoking temp. Use a neutral oil and wipe that out, and at that point you're going to have a really nice seasoned pan. And just make sure whenever you clean those pans, you really dry them yourself before you put them away. That's when you're going to have issues as long-term storage with either grease or water in them.
So therefore, no rust.
Okay. Great.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cindy. We appreciate the call. All right. And you guys mentioned induction. Tell me about induction.
Induction burners?
Yeah, tell me about, I've seen them advertised, and tell me about them.
It's a digital burner that reacts with a specific type of pan.
So you have to have a pan, and it's not hot to the touch when you touch the burner, right? Is that the deal?
The deal is it works off of a magnetic source where the surface of the pan is generating the heat to the content of it. So your induction burner itself is not hot, but of course it's going to be casting off heat from what you're cooking. It's a really interesting, they're very efficient. There's a lot on the market. The problem with the market being saturated with induction is there's some that are cheaper and they just don't have the power to boil a pot of water. And then there's some that get more expensive. And there's some that are nice in between. I think for the home cook, if you have a stove, I don't know why you'd need an induction burner.
Okay, but for an industrial situation or for a commercial situation, is there a use for such a thing?
Absolutely.
In your kitchen?
Absolutely.
You have one?
Two.
Really?
I have two also.
What do you guys do with them?
I cook things at a specific temperature over a long period of time. So you can kind of use the digital to acquire a temperature that you want and just kind of leave it.
It also allows you to bring a cooking surface to somewhere besides where your stove is.
Outside catering event or something.
Outside catering.
Yeah.
Or pastry needs to melt some butter.
But you need special
chocolate pans,
right?
Yes.
You need induction-ready pans, which means the metal can react with the magnetic field, which the funny part is those old-school Cast Lodge. Basically, if you take a magnet to your pan and it holds, it should work.
Oh, makes sense.
So now, aluminum won't really work.
Is this a new I mean, I've only seen the ads for these things in the last few years. Is this something new or has it been around forever?
It's been around for a bit.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think it's more heavily used and distributed in the European market. Actually, a lot of your high-end, really destination restaurants have moved to these entire induction tops.
Why?
That's all they use.
Why? Just for the control?
Absolutely. The cleanliness. Imagine not having any nooks or crannies that are getting dirty.
Right, it's like a flat stove that you would have at home. It's that same texture, so it's easy to clean.
Super efficient. You turn it on and you're getting the heat you want right away. It's not electric where it's heating up slowly and cooling down slowly. It's like
consistency
immediate.
Is the most important thing, I think, when we're talking about.
Well, that's an interesting idea. Let's go to Ron and Colony. Ron.
Hey guys, I got a kick when you were talking. What's the best blender?
Okay.
So I've got a Vitamix that I got probably 8-9 years ago, and I blend a super thick smoothie every single morning, mm-hmm. like 40 ounces, and it's, you know.
40 ounces?
A lot, yeah. And it's got everything in it. Okay. It's got everything in it that you could possibly imagine, even concrete, it'll blend it up.
That's great.
But there's actually a book, and I hate to miss even one more, it just kills me, because I get most of my nutrition from that.
Okay.
But there's actually a book, and I probably saw this 5-6 years ago, I didn't buy it, at Barnes & Noble, where two nutritionists, one liked Blendtec and one liked Vitamix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were really stalwart in their opinion, so they traded for like 2 weeks, and then they wanted to see if anybody converted. Neither one of them converted. The one that liked the Vitamix continued to like the Vitamix, and the one that liked the the Blendtec. But I got mine is the basic Vitamix, which is like 400. It was like $400.
It's a lot of money.
Not the one that's you go to Bed Bath and Beyond and you use the coupon, and they normally have the more like 400.
Yeah,
like well, close to 500. And they have a blend. They used to have a Blendtec as well.
All right. Well, let's try not to advertise and to give prices. I mean, let's avoid that if we could, Ron.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, well, that was a long time ago. It's probably even more now. But,
terrific.
It's just absolutely the best machine ever. Glad to hear you guys.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Vivian. Vivian Lee. No, it's Vivian in Lee. Hi, Vivian. You're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm enjoying the show very much.
Thank you.
I used to test recipes for a magazine. I'm also a recovering buyer of kitchen gadgets. And I would recommend, before you buy, to think about how many jobs one item can do. Also, in answer to the sourdough bread baker on the garlic powder, I'm wondering if there wasn't some ingredient in that powder to keep it from clumping that retarded the rising after the sponge.
Interesting.
And the ceramic knife, I think they're popular because they're non-reactive. A nice chef's knife, you can't cut tomatoes with things like that. They'll have a reaction.
What kind of a reaction are we talking about here?
The knife will go black.
Really?
And it doesn't cut a tomato very nicely. So my only question is, what is the panel's current opinion about aluminum pots?
Okay, aluminum.
Thank you very much. Remember, a blender can do anything a Vitamix can do.
If you want your food to taste like aluminum, then for me, at
well,
least.
You know, there.
When you talk about reaction. That's all aluminum does. It reacts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some schools that believe that it contributes towards certain diseases like Alzheimer's and such.
It's a soft metal. They're concerned about your intake. We all of us support as much as you can, and especially for the home, use stainless steel,
mm-hmm.
cast iron, and stainless steel. You don't want to cook anything with color and cast iron. It'll ruin it. But stainless steel, you put the money in. And with all these gadgets, and you're really, really on point when you said, how many uses can you get out of it? We're not here to shill, you know, a different vegetable tool for each vegetable. We like talking about things that have a great many uses. That,
well,
that,
I'm trying not to go out and buy anything. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
Vivian, thanks a lot for the call. I got a daughter named Vivian. Love that name. Fran in Gallatin. Fran, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about induction. We've had one of those little portable induction burners for years. And it's great for canning. We have it set up so the two of us can just whip through canning tomato and tomato sauce, have it on a table by the window, and it's been very handy for that, as long as your pot is magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people, one person who's the manager of a kitchen store, who replaced his stove with an entirely induction stove for safety's sake,
mm-hmm.
for his children and his grandfather, because it'll go off after a certain period of time. It doesn't produce heat. I mean, it's just a much safer thing to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
And there's one other comment about pans. My new favorite frying pan is a Lodge steel, black steel pan.
Black steel.
That is really good.
Those are
it
great.
It gets so hot and even, and it's just wonderful.
All right. Well, Fran, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. We are joined by Nick Moulton, Bjorn Somlo, and Adam Broussard today as we talk gadgets here on the home stretch. Let's go to Nina in East Hoosick. Nina, you're on.
Hey, how are you, everybody?
Hi, Nina.
Show. Hi. So I have cooked for a long time, and I'm interested in consolidating my gadgetry. That kind of follows on what Vivian was talking about. Is there any need to keep a food processor when I could get a Vitamix or another blender of that quality that would take care of any food processing that I might need for that? My favorite tool now is the immersion blender for soups and for, you know, small shakes. But is it possible to get rid of the food processor and just use the Vitamix for food processing and juicing and anything else?
Okay.
It depends on what you want the finished product to be. A food processor isn't going to get your finished product nearly as smooth or broken down as a VitaPrep would.
But you can't grind nuts in a VitaPrep.
But you can't grind nuts in a VitaPrep.
You can't make a nut butter in a food processor.
Exactly. Mm. So they're good in their own ways. It's good to have both of them.
The thing about
What do you use the food processor for that you can't do in the Vitamix blender?
Grinding nuts, seeds, pulsing things where you just want to chop. If I had to pick one, I don't know about you guys, I'd go VitaPrep, but we have two food processors in the restaurant upstairs and downstairs that we have in high usage.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to pick between the two because I use both all day, every day.
Yeah, so you need it for nuts and stuff like that. Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, Nina, thanks a lot for the call. By the way, on your list here also, scale. Just a regular scale, right?
Digital scale.
You know, okay, I would think that after a certain point, you guys are fairly young, but after a certain point in your career, you just do stuff by eye. You weigh stuff out all the time?
It's more for baking, though. Those digital scales are perfect for getting the perfect accurate measure.
And some things you really need to accurately measure.
Following recipes, right?
And following recipes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, all the people listening in the kitchens, they don't just throw stuff.
Don't you guys just do that, though? Isn't that the art form?
Depends on what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, you learn taste as you go. Your palate develops, but
there's a base recipe that you really want to start with, especially when you have many hands stirring a pot. And as we all stand here and people are working with us in that kitchens elsewhere, we're all starting from a measured place. But whether you're a home cook or a kitchen cook, once you've gone past the measured point, use your taste. You taste it. Do you want more salt? Do you want more acid? And that's where the spontaneity comes in. But the 95%, that's a measured affair.
You make a great point, though. If you have a staff working for you, you can't have everybody saying, we'll put a pinch of this, we'll put a pinch of that. Yeah.
It's the consistency.
Makes a great deal of sense. Let's go to Rich in Whitesboro. Rich.
Oh, hey. Just a couple of comments. I'm talking about Vitamix. I have had a Vitamix. I just haven't used it because it's kind of bulky. But I bought a Ninja, which is small and sits on the counter conveniently, and I always grab it and make things with that. Thermometer, too, a comment just for safety. I never used them all my life, but since I bought one, I've been using it, especially with a microwave, because you never know how they heat, and I found it extremely useful. Don't know why I didn't get one before. Last, I had a question for you. Making chips or fries with from sweet potatoes. Anything work on that? I've been very unsuccessful trying to cut it.
Sweet potato is to actually make the chip or fry. That's hard because there's a lot more sugar than starch than your regular potato. But to cut it, if you're doing a chip, mandolin all the way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or a slicer if you have one, but people aren't gonna have a slicer at home.
Couldn't have said it better.
So mandolin is the way to go, Rich.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks
great
a lot.
Show.
But why is it tougher to cook them?
Sugar.
It's the sugar. They don't stay as crispy either. The high sugar content, they get a little darker.
You can't just cook them quickly at a higher temperature and pull them out?
The higher is going to be an issue. It's going to burn more.
It's
going to
burn
go lower longer.
Sugar.
Shrink them.
Okay, here's one that came in just now via the website. Question about pans. What material would you recommend for a nonstick material on frying pans?
That's the cast iron and the black carbon steel again. Once they're seasoned, it's pretty much nonstick.
It will stick on cast iron,
the black
though, right?
carbon steel
Once they're seasoned.
No, when you say seasons, that means you don't wash them?
Season means that before you use it, you either introduce some oil to it that actually coats the surface, and you remove that oil and you polish the pan, and then you cook in it.
So, okay, I'm confused about the bacteria factor. If you are, quote-unquote, seasoning a pan, and we're out of time almost, but if you're seasoning a pan by putting oil in it, and theoretically some of that oil stays, isn't some of the bad stuff staying as well?
You season it when you're going to use it.
Oh, okay.
There is the old grandmother adage of you always have the seasoned pan on the stove, but we don't do that so much anymore.
No, I'm sure the health department frowns on such a thing. Well, hey, this was a good show. Thank you, Nick Moulton, Bjorn Somlo, and Adam Broussard. You guys did good. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate you bringing the cookies, which had nothing to do with the topic.
Just a little extra something. It's all right, though.
Well, you guys are pretty smart. Thank you all for listening. Support comes from Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar. Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York, serving local organic food sourced from Hudson Valley Farms, terrapinrestaurant.com. Spectrum 8 Theaters, Albany, New York, showing Hollywood, American, independent, and foreign films and presenting London's National Theater Series in HD and digital sound. Open daily, Spectrum 8.com. All right, well, that's it for today. That's it for the week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the emails, the Facebook posts. You bet. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was our engineer. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks again for joining us. Now, today's Friday. That means Monday is a medical Monday. Alan will be in the chair. Join us at 2 o'clock. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned for a news update.